looking forward to it. Amen. More all the time. Is that right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Is my microphone not on? You never know it, would you? Well, it says that it is, brothers. But it also says that the mute is on. Is it on now?
It's good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
What a privileged people we are to be able to come to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe we're going to have a great time here tonight, don't you? How many of you come with expectations in your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Hallelujah. God is certainly mindful of us. I want you to take just a second, turn around, give somebody a big smile, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Brethren, play something if you will tonight. Let's sing it now if you will. Oh, we're going home. We're going home. There is nothing to hold me here. Since amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests, an announcement or so before we look at our prayer requests tonight. Don't forget this will probably be the last time unless somebody seems like or feels like it's necessary. Might be the last service that we'll announce this. Brother Jimmy can kind of give me some guidelines on how things are going as far as people signing up the American Red Cross blood drive. They've come to us and asking if we could help. So if you'd care to look at that, they have a form over in the library. You could sign up for that. And I told Glenda the other night, I said, I signed you up to give blood. Her eyes got, she said, me? I said, yeah, you. So maybe you can surprise somebody. Sign them up. People always love surprises, Brother Terry. So sign somebody up. Actually, if you got an ought against somebody, sign them up twice. No, shouldn't have no oughts against anybody, should we? But don't forget that. Remember that. That's a very community worthwhile endeavor that they're doing, and we need to be part of that if you can. I want to pray tonight for Sister Joy Shantis. She's been diagnosed with a viral bronchitis and really needs a touch from the Lord, unable to be in the service tonight. So we want to pray for Sister Joy Shantis tonight. Here's a praise report from Sister Jane Terrell. I went for my yearly eye exam. The doctor said my eyes had not changed. His words were, your eyes are amazing. I told him that I had an amazing God. So we praise the Lord for that tonight, don't we? Amen. Give the Lord a hand tonight. I want to pray for Brother Joel Moyer, very special needs in his life. Also that he can find a job for his needs, for his family, to provide for them. So let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence. She recently had tests run and some lab work done that revealed her kidneys are not functioning correctly. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord would touch her. I want to pray for Gene Cooley from Indiana. He has been diagnosed with a pre-leukemia condition. His blood levels are very low. Also pray for his spiritual condition. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Lona says, I have a very special unspoken request that I would like for the church to help me pray about. So we'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Ask God to move on that behalf. And here's a prayer request and a testimony. I want to continue to pray for little Riley Butcher. One of his eyes has crossed. He is in therapy. He put his shoes on himself a couple of days ago. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to do that is amazing. May get to go home by the end of the week. So they're praising the Lord for that and want us to continue to remember him in prayer as we pray. Brother Junior Davis, certainly want to hold him in our hearts and ask the Lord to be with him as he undergoes chemotherapy treatments. You have an unspoken prayer request or a need you'd like for this group to pray about tonight? How many of you believe we're serving a God that can answer prayer? Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give me one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Oh yes, we're going home. I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me here. Since I caught a glimpse of that heavenly land, praise God, I'm going home. Let's all stand tonight. Brother Harold Carroll, would you come take us to the Lord in prayer? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. Brother David Siler is going to be speaking for us, and then we have a baptismal service after that. So just a lot of good things going to be happening here tonight. Brother Harold, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we want to come to you at this time, Lord, and first we want to say thank you, Lord, for all the requests that you have already met, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, we've come to you on so many occasions, but Lord, you've asked us to do that. You've directed us to do that. You want us to ask for big things, Lord. And actually, Lord, these requests to you, Lord, and I like it, Lord, when you came to the tomb of Lazarus that day, Lord, and Mary and Martha, Lord, you cried and you could really feel it. But actually, just in a few minutes, you were just going to come because you knew what was getting ready to happen. Lord Jesus, and we just want to have that confidence and faith in you, Lord Jesus, tonight and bring these requests to you. Our brothers and sisters have brought these requests, maybe some of the folks we didn't even know, and some of the requests that are on the people's hearts tonight, Lord, maybe it be for our loved ones, it might be a financial situation, or it might be just someone they know at work, or whatever the case may be, Lord. You know what it is, Lord, and you're concerned. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would just, we would believe you, we take you at your word tonight, and Lord, we're looking forward to you, Lord, just moving through these things as you meet the faith that as our faith has come to that, Lord, that you're of your word. We ask in your name, Lord Jesus, believing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we sing a song. All those folks that are streaming this service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well from around the world. I'm working on the building. He's actually doing the work. He's working on our building, isn't he? Amen. We want to be a willing vessel, though, don't we? Amen. Let's sing with that old song tonight. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Sing it again. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Well, it's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I were a sinner, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd quit my sinning
building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a preacher, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd keep on preaching and I'd work on the building.
We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord.
Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I were a singer, I'd tell you what I would do.
Amen.
I'd keep on singing and I'd work on the building.
Oh, we're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing another old song tonight, if you will. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. What about you? I only wish I'd have started a lot sooner and been a lot more dedicated on the way. But I'm so glad what He's done for us. What He's doing for us. Somebody say praise the Lord. You might ought to stand up while we sing this one tonight. Amen. Let's sing it. Is that the right key? Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. No, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. Wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey.
I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I've had a lot of heartaches, had a lot of grief and woe. Oh, but when I would stumble, then I would humble down.
Oh, sing it to Him, church.
And then I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey.
Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gonna make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. The wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
There's nothing in the world that could ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold can never buy my love. When my soul needs healing and I begin to feel His power, I say, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's He's offered everything that's got a name. Wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. No, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gonna make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. Wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't. Nothing for my journey now. And he's got it all in control. Every step of our journey, he's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
I put my life in his hands. I put my life in Father's hands. Sure is in his plan.
Hallelujah.
I put my life in his hands.
Oh, I know it's this way. Cause he's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We got a couple of songs tonight. I'm going to do these. And Sister Donna, we'll try to get you this weekend. I had some songs in front, and I hope that'll be all right with you. Maybe prepare for the weekend if that's okay. Brother Brandon's got a song. He's been, I don't know where he's at right now. There he comes right now, Brother Brandon. And Brother Harry had a song for Sunday morning, and I didn't have room. I sung instead, and you just don't know how bad that makes you feel. Sing in front of a guy like that. But I done it anyway, so. But we're glad these guys are going to sing for us. We appreciate Brother Brandon, don't we? Amen. We appreciate him. Means a lot to the church. Brother Harry, God bless our brothers tonight as they sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love. as we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Yes, we want to see you. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Yes, we want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Yes, we want to see you. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Yes, we want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 you are holy, 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 we want to see.
About done. Well, at least you'll get a break from me. We're going to be out of town for a couple weekends, so at least you'll get a break.
If he knows when a robin falls from his nest, and he grieves when he sees it die, if he kisses the wrong
I wonder how much more does He love you and I? And if He cares for the lily in an open field and caresses its petals with dew, if He acknowledges the tree when the winds make it kneel, how much more does He love me and you? How much more than a fragrant rose that He gives life in the spring? Does He love me less than the bird in his nest that never soars, yet he soars on the wing? If He can speak a simple word and calm an angry wind, peace be still can calm a rolling sea, then He can speak, peace be still to the storms within. That's how much that He really loves me. How much more than a fragrant rose that He gives life in the spring? Does He love me less than the bird in his nest that never soars, yet He soars on the wing? If He can speak a simple word and calm an angry wind, peace be still can calm the rolling sea, then He can speak, peace be still to every storm within. That's how much my God really loves me.
There's nothing quite like His voice. Amen. Exodus chapter 17, if you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like to turn to the scripture with us. There's nothing quite like His voice when He speaks to us. No matter how nervous, how upset you are, just one word from His mouth has the ability to calm every storm you've ever been through. No matter how clouded up your mind is, if He would ever come by, if He speaks to you and you know it's Him, there's just a peace that comes across your life. Amen. Exodus chapter 17, if you'd like to turn with us in scripture. We want to look at verse 8 this evening. Start at verse 8. We'll read down a few verses of scripture and we'll give you our subject this evening. We'll pray and let you be seated. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Verse 12, just real quick. Just a small place in the scripture. But how many people know that small places sometimes is pregnated with a lot of power behind it? Amen? But Moses' hands were heavy. I want to speak on that this evening, Lord, to help us. Heavy hands. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavy hands. Heavenly Father, we love you with all of our hearts tonight. We are so under expectation that you're going to come by and speak to us. Lord, for this next 30 minutes to 45 minutes that we'll be here, we ask that you'd come and use us for your glory. Lord, we've not come to hear from a man. We've not come to see one another alone, but Lord, we've come to hear from you, and we've come to see you tonight. Lord, may you come among us in a great way. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of God would just have liberty among us. Lord, we ask that your presence would just come, saturate us with your presence, we ask, Lord. Father, we ask that you'd sever anything that's not like you. Help us to draw closer. Lord, if there's ever been a day that we need help today. So come tonight, Lord. Take the word of life. Break the bread as you did many years ago. And we'll be so careful to give you the praise. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this evening. You may be seated. How many just loves the Lord tonight with all of your heart? Amen. Isn't he good to us? So good to us. Amen. Our story setting would open something that's very familiar to us. We understand that Israel is leaving Egypt. The promise that God had gave to Israel has now came time that God was going to bring them out. Now, once they come out, they are leaving everything that they was behind. Hallelujah. They're not going to drag Egypt out into the wilderness, but they've got to leave it behind and come out. And my, what must it have been? What must the atmosphere have felt like? Once they begin to realize that what they had been told about since they was children, some maybe their grandparents had told them what it was going to be when they come out of Egypt. And now the time of the promise has drawn nigh. And they're leaving slavery. They're leaving bondage. They're leaving the old taskmaster behind. They're leaving Egyptian ways. They're leaving Egyptian ideals. Hallelujah. They're leaving everything of Egypt behind. And all the thrill of coming out of Egypt. The thrill of overcoming Egypt. They have a prophet's message. And that message is a vindicated message. Not one man could disprove it. Not one man could put his hand upon it. God is speaking through a man. And God has validated that man's message. Oh, hallelujah. And we see that they have this great end time message. It's the evening time and they're coming out. But remember, redemption has two parts. You can come out of, but you have to go into. A lot of people has come out of denomination, but what have they went into? Many years ago, people come out, but really, where are you at tonight in your walk with God? They have come out, and my, they've come out with a strong hand. They come out rejoicing. They come out excited. The prophet said they come out enthused. Balaam said, we need to be enthused. He said, we need to be enthused about this gospel. We need to be enthused about this word. Amen. Here they leave. They've got a cloud by day. They got the pillar of fire that would lead them by night. They had the promise of God that had been given to them through the prophet Moses. Brother, the Exodus was on. I'll just tell you tonight, an Exodus is on. There's an Exodus going on in this building. Of course, it's going to be a different setting because it's not leaving a natural land. It's going into a supernatural land. Hallelujah! And we see the how that here is Joshua, and Joshua is there, and we know that Joshua, he's the type of the Holy Ghost.
So they got the prophet. They got the promise. And they got the Holy Ghost coming out of Egypt. They come out shouting. They come out with thanksgiving. And let me just say this. The victory was wonderful. The victory was great. But having those victory only lasts so long. Until God was going to send them a test. After they came out of Egypt, Egypt gets mad because they've left. Egypt gets upset because they've been set free. And after you overcome, the devil's going to get mad at you. Amen. I said, after you overcome, after you get victory, every gun in hell, Brother Bram said, is pointed at you. And Egypt gets mad and they jump on their chariots and here they are coming after God's children. And I'll tell you, once you overcome the enemy, Satan's going to be after you. Your face will be on every wanted poster in hell. You'll be on the wanted poster in the post office of hell. I say, let him come tonight. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Brother Ram said, when you get saved, Satan draws a big target right on your back. And every gun in hell is aimed at you. We wonder why we go through things. We wonder why we are tested by things. It's because of the move that we're in. Amen. You say, well, Brother David, Satan's not chasing me. He don't chase people who's running the same direction he is. Brother, it's a battle going on tonight. And here they come, and Egypt's army was the best equipped army. They knew how, they had the ability to make war. And my, here they are, coming after God's children. And when the people saw that the battle was going to be great, they begin to grumble. They begin to complain. Oh, I wish we would just stayed in our cold dead churches we was in. Wish we'd stayed back in Egypt, my. We was happy in our dead churches. We was happy in our bondage. Listen, speak for yourself tonight. I'm thankful tonight that we come out. I'm thankful tonight he's called us out of it. Israel, no doubt, they think they're done. They think their time has come to an end. They think they've been released only to die just a short period of time later. But little do they know, Moses began to pray. I said, Moses began to pray. And something began to happen. That rod that Moses had come out of the wilderness with, that rod that Moses possessed was in the hand of Moses. Moses began to call out to God. And people begin to become upset and they're nervous and my, how they're wondering what's going to happen, what's going to take place. You may be wondering that tonight, but let me tell you, I'm telling you, there's already been prophecy written about us. We're not wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. We know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're not trying to figure out what's going to happen next week. We know what happens next week. Hallelujah! Just a few more weary days and we're going to leave here. Moses began to pray, and Moses lifted up that rod toward heaven. And Brother Abraham said, when Moses lifted up that rod, he said that God, hallelujah, God looked down out of heaven with angry eyes, and the Red Sea got scared, and it began to part back. I say that's what we need tonight. What if God would look out of heaven tonight upon your besetting sin with angry eyes? What if he would look upon your trouble, your trials, your tests, all the things you go through? If he would look out of heaven with angry eyes tonight and that sin, oh my, those trials would get scared and begin to move away from you. Once they get to the other side, they march across on dry ground. There's no mud between their toes. There's no mud on their clothes. I said they're spotless. They're marching to the trial, spotless. Thunder, thunder, hallelujah. When they come across, Moses does something peculiar. Moses lifts up his hands and begins to praise God for what he done. And Brother Ram says this, Moses, once he seen that the children of Israel was going to make it, Moses got in the spirit. And he lifted up his hands and began to thank God for what he had done. Brother Ram said that he said like fire, it began to catch. Miriam realized what happened. What are you saying this for? If you would be like Moses, if you would be like Miriam, look back on what he's brought you out of. Look back on what he's done for you. Look back on how he's helped you. Look back on how he's led you every step of the way. It'll make you want to throw your hands up and grab the tambourine and begin to thank him for what he's done for you. Hallelujah. And like fire, it began to spread from Miriam down to the daughters of Israel. They begin to follow Miriam up and down the banks, following her, dancing, giving glory to God. When God does things among us, it ought to make you want to throw your hands up and thank the only one that could have done it. When it looked like it was impossible, he made it possible. When it didn't look like no way, he made a way for you. Brother, Miriam was excited. And I was wondering, what can Miriam be so excited about as she comes across? And Brother Ram said that Moses and Miriam looked back when Egypt tried to follow them. They tried to walk the same walk. They tried to go the same way. But the water closed up on the Egyptians. And the Egyptians drowned in the sea. And Miriam looks and she sees the one that had beat her underneath that sea. She sees the one that had whooped her and beat her and oppressed her. And when she seen, he was dead. Glory! He could no longer beat her. He couldn't oppress her because her enemy was dead. Hallelujah! Let me tell you tonight, your enemy is dead! He's dead tonight! He can't bind you no longer. He can't hold you no more. I said your enemy is dead. Hallelujah! Oh my, all of that past was drowned in that sea. All of those days of oppression was bound in that sea. All those days of darkness is drowned in that sea. I think about another sea tonight that our sins has been dropped into. Hallelujah! It's the sea of God's forgiveness. It can never be brought against your account no more. It can never be held against you ever again. Your enemy's dead. Brother Ram tells us the seven church ages. God poured out the manna there in the natural. It lasted only so long. As they were in the journey, a beautiful type. And the day they entered the promised land, the manna ceased. On the day of Pentecost, the same thing. Look at Pentecost to Moses. They looked back and seen the enemy was dead. And Miriam grabbed a tambourine. She began to beat it. And scream and dance. Hope that don't bother you. Amen. And guess what else she did? In the message, she screamed, she danced, and she ran. Wait a minute, brother. I'm in the message. Yeah, but it's the message in you. But there's something about the word on the inside of you. You can't hardly sit still. You're burning like a house on fire in a high wind. And the women followed her doing the same thing. They may not have seen their enemy dead, but let me tell you this, because that she seen hers, that's enough for everybody else to rejoice over what she got. Listen, it may not be you giving your heart to God at the altar, but if somebody else is, you ought to be able to stand there beside them and thank God for what he did for that individual, because one day you was there, one day I was there, and he changed us. Oh my, the enemy was drowned
in the sea. Brother Ram said Moses threw his hands up. Moses threw his hands up and began to worship. Moses' hands was up because Israel had overcome. Moses' hands was up because Israel prevailed. Amen. But after a great test, you would think this would settle it for everybody. Once you've seen God vindicate right before your eyes, it would take every doubter away, every complainer. Amen. It would take every complaint away if they seen God do the supernatural. Right among them. Day in, day out, week in. Are you with me now? Week in and week out, you see God pour His presence out. It should take every complaint from our lips. But David, you don't know how big my problem is. You don't know how big my God is. Amen, somebody. How quick they was to forget what God done. They had water problems, and God gave them water. They had food problems. God rained food out of heaven. I said God was with them. Their clothes never wore out. Preach, somebody. Must have been a pretty good brand for never wearing out. Amen. Their shoes never wore out. Brother Dimmer, there are some awesome shoes tonight. No sickness. No feebleness. Hallelujah. No feebleness. No need of an ambulance. No need of a doctor. Sounds like the millennium to me. God helped them. God walked with them. He talked with them. He led them every step. But they forgot. They forgot. Now they come to Exodus 17. The Amalekites don't fight clean. They fight dirty. And it's always the enemy fights dirty. He catches you at your weakest point. Can I preach to you a minute? When there was complaining going on around the message and doubters that had raised up around the message, the Amalekites came in from behind to try to pull as many as they can pull out. They come to oppress them. They come to kill them. Hallelujah! The devil don't fight clean. He fights dirty tonight. The very word Amalekite means dwellers of the valley. So because they can't get out of the valley, they just want to pull you into it. Can I say something tonight? People that you hang around that is constantly in the valley, constantly with a bad attitude, constantly with something negative. Brother, let me tell you, if you don't overtake them, they will overtake you. Because they got valley mentality. They got a valley mindset. And if you ain't real careful, you'll say the same thing they say. Complainers. Doubters. Hallelujah. After victory, the enemy will come. Wouldn't he love to keep us all in the valley? Here's the Amalekites. But let me say this. These Amalekites, they're not just to come against just any people. This ain't your regular run-of-the-mill, old blow Joe just walking across this desert. Not going nowhere. But what the Amalekites didn't realize, these are God's anointed children. If you want to get a daddy and mama mad, you mess with their kids. Preach, somebody. You start picking on their children. Let me tell you, you pick on them, you're picking on daddy. And the Amalekites got to picking on God's children, and God took it personal. Hallelujah. God takes it personal. Hallelujah. These are God's anointed. These are God's chosen. They're predestinated. They're elected. They're ordained. They got God's word. They got God's promise. They got a covenant. Glory to God. As always, the enemy wants to surprise.
The Amalekites are arch nemesis to Israel, constantly attacking Israel over and over again. I'm going to preach that one more time. I'm going to rewind it, say it again. Blah, 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 blah. I said the dwellers of the valley attack his children day in and day out, week in and week out, constantly coming against God's children, trying to oppress you, trying to depress you, trying to drag you off the side of that hill, trying to take you off the side of the mountain and bring you down to the valley. Every day, every week, every weekend, every service, the dwellers of the valley. So Moses says to Joshua, I want you to choose out some men and I want you to go down and fight with him. Find those who are willing to fight. But he don't want no cowards down there that's going to quit in the middle of a battle. Long I follow this thing, I'm starting to realize you're going to have some tough skin if you're going to believe the God I serve. But you're going to have some thick skin. I mean, you're going to have to get the chip off your shoulder if you're going to serve this God. Amen. Accusers are going to come from every direction. The enemy's shooting at you from every direction. If you're going to serve this God, let me tell you, you better be ready to fight a little bit. Choose you out some men and go out and fight. What's Moses going to do? Moses says, I'm going to that mountain. And I'm taking Aaron and I'm taking her. And we're going up into that mountain. And I want you to go down in that valley, Joshua, to fight. The Holy Ghost is good about fighting in valleys. Somewhere in the middle of this test, is that all right? Somewhere in the middle of this battle, Moses is watching as Amalek and his people begin to fight against Joshua and his people. Glory. And as Amalek is coming against them, Moses knows these men are not well-trained soldiers. These aren't men who's carried a sword from their youth. These are farmers or builders. But they got enough courage to fight, no matter what their occupation is. Woo, glory. And somewhere in the middle of this test, Moses did the strangest thing. He didn't get on his knees and begin to pray to God. He didn't even think about giving up. He didn't throw the towel and say, that's it, we're starting to lose. But right in the middle of this test, Moses just throwed his hands up. Moses, that's just humanity. But David, that's just human instrumentality. Oh, you're not looking at what I'm looking at. Because when your hands is up, that is the universal sign for surrenderance. When your hands is up, that means your hands is off. And if your hands is off, that means God is in control. There's time God don't want no help. He wants you to surrender and just take your hands off. There's times God can't do nothing for us because we're trying so hard to help him. I mean, trying so hard. Oh God, oh Lord, let me just move you out of the way. Lord, just step out of the way. I can handle this. You can't handle it. You never have been. You never will be able to. If he don't do it through you and for you, it won't get done. That's all of us. Moses, what are you doing? I'm putting my hands up. Why are you throwing your hands up? Because I can see Amalek starting to win. He's starting to win. I just feel like throwing my hands up. Listen, friends. This battle that's being fought, it's not Moses' battle. It's not even Joshua's battle. It's not the children of Israel's battle. The Bible said this is the Lord's. That gives me a little bit of hope. Because this battle, listen, we take so many things so personal. We make the battle so personal. But let me tell you, the reason you're going through things, the reason you're down, the reason you get discouraged, it's because this is the Lord's battle tonight. And doing the Lord's business, there's going to be tests and trials and troubles everywhere you look. God said, I'll make war. I will make war with Amalek from generation to this is my battle. I'm going to do this. And Moses says, Lord, this is yours. Let me tell you the best thing I can do. Just go right ahead and do what you got to do. Notice we've seen the star come to worship. Remember, you know what a raised hand up is? In every language under the heaven. You know what I got out of that? Amalek know what that meant. Glory! Even the enemy he was fighting sees his hands up. And he knows what that means. A raised hand is a surrender, a sign of surrender when you raise your hands. Again, the second hymn of the Lord. Somebody criticized me the other day. Saying, Brother Branham, why do you say raise your hand? Listen, friend, there's no one that believes in altar calls any more than I do. I believe in coming to the altar. That's good. But that don't save you. Well, remember, I went to the altar Sunday night and I'm born again tonight. I'll tell you, altars don't save you. It's the altar in your heart that changes, that saves you. Amen, somebody. See, it's my opinion, your decision of Christ. Well, if I walk up to the altar, that's good. But brethren, did you realize when you raise your hand, you break every scientific law that there is? See, your hand by nature, by gravitation, ought to hang down. You ready for your toupee to get blowed off? If you raise your hand, it shows there's a supernatural being in you that's able to defy the laws of nature to raise your hand towards your Creator. Man, I just thought it's moving my elbow. I had no idea. Because what's in the heart pushes the hand up. When your hands is up, that means you're walking by faith and not by sight. When your hands is up, you're looking at what God can do and not what you can do. When your hands is up, that means you're giving God full authority to come into your life and your walk with God and to take control. Their back's against the wall. Amalek's prevailing. And Moses sees what's going on. So he just throws his hands up. And I'll tell you, when your back's against the wall and you feel like that you can't go another inch, amen, when you feel like you can't make another service, that's the time that God's been trying to get you to for so long. It's trying to get you to the place of surrenders. Listen, friends, I've been preaching for him since I was 16 years old. I never realized how important even now it is that we still surrender everything we got to the Holy Spirit. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. God must have a surrendered vessel to be able to use you. When a preacher quits surrendering, his ministry's over. When you quit surrendering, you're in trouble, brother. You're sinking. Amen. Oh, my. Moses' hands was up, and somehow Aaron and Hur notices this as Moses as well, that when Moses threw his hands up, I mean, it's almost like a charge going into a battery, hits Joshua and his men, and they go into overtime, fighting and killing and fighting and killing. And Moses puts his hands down, and they're getting beat back, get back. Wait a minute, do that again. Okay. Now put your hands down. I know what we're going to have to do if we overcome this battle. I know what we're going to have to do. Moses said, I'm just going to keep my hands up. I've got to keep my hands up. If I don't keep my hands up, the valley's going to win the war over me. Isn't it amazing? We've tried all kinds of ways to get out of our problems. We've tried crying our way out of problems. We've tried beating on the altar to get out of our problems. But let me ask you this. Have you ever tried praising your way out of a problem? Where you say, God, this battle's not mine, it's yours. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. But I'm putting it in your hands to take control. So Moses raised his hands up. But here's the problem with Moses. He was a man. built out of flesh and bone like you are. And his hands got heavy. I said, the Bible said his hands, they got heavy. Just like your hands get heavy. And my hands get heavy. Oh, those heavy hands tonight. Could we not have a pity party for every time our hands, you understand spiritually, every time your hands has gotten heavy. I dare say that we could have enough pity party just from the last couple of days. Because our hands has gotten heavy this week. Listen church, our hands get tired. They get tired of fighting. Amen somebody. You realize friends, there's times our hands get tired of doing what's right. I just wait until you respond to that one before I continued. But even doing what's right, sometimes and many times is more stressful than allowing Satan just to come in and do what he wants. There's times our hands get so heavy, they're so tired, we don't feel like we can go anywhere else. Amen! Paul said, I've become weary in well-doing! We all get there. I said, we all get there. No matter how young you are, you've been here. No matter how long you've been serving God, you have been here. No matter how old you are, every one of us get here. Amen. Your hands get heavy and everybody has been there. Amen. Listen, church, preacher's hands, they get heavy. Your pastor's hands, they get heavy. The deacon's hands get heavy. Treasurers, trustees, musicians, their hands get heavy. Young people's hands, they get heavy. And they start looking at every other option there is out there besides serving God. And Satan gives them a 7-course buffet of everything that looks right and looks good to their eyes. Come on, somebody. Oh, not me, Brother David. I never get down. You're a liar. Amen. I know we get tired. There's times we come into the house of God and we sit there so quiet, so formal, just waiting for the service to get done. And then we're going to get up and we're going to go home. We came there, heard the word, we heard the preaching, we heard God speak to us, we heard the song service, we felt the Spirit of God move by, but we're so tired, so heavy, so down, so discouraged that we just sit there and let all the good things that God's trying to put into us, all those good vitamins, we just let it pass us by. And you leave and you go out and you go home and guess what? The Amalekite is waiting at you in your house. He's waiting for you in your car. Preach, Brother David. He's waiting there trying to put another dose upon you. Listen, friends, he don't want you coming to the house of God. He don't want you coming in here and feeling the presence of God. He don't want you entering in. Well, Brother David, everybody don't worship like you. We don't want you to. If you cry, cry. If you sing, sing. If you dance, dance. But if all you do is raise your hand, that means as much to God as a man that's running all over the building. David, I don't feel good tonight. I'm sick. I got a headache. Join the crowd. I don't feel well. If all you can do is just wiggle your pinky to God, He'll take it. Sometimes that's the way we feel. Lord, I can't get nothing out of this service. I'm going to go there. I'm not going to get one thing from that service. If all you can do is just raise one little hand. Brother Ram said, God sees that hand. But sister, there ain't no excuse to come in here and sit like you lost your best friend every service. Amen. Well, David, I don't know why I get that way. I'm going to tell you why you get that way. No other preacher may have told you, but I'm going to tell you. Because you're a human being. And being a human being, God did not exempt you from sickness. He didn't exempt you from trials. He didn't exempt you from problems. Preach, Brother David. We all got them. We all go through them, brother and sister. We all have those things. Amen. Why is it that we try to isolate ourselves so far away from everybody else when we need one another so bad at that moment? Who is it that draws us out? Listen, friends, Satan knows that if he can pull you out away from the rest of the sheep, if he can isolate you by yourself, that you're easier to whip unless you had somebody helping you pray. Amen. But David, I feel like I live so far from the church and I'm just isolated. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. Don't you listen to that liar, because every time he opens his mouth, he's lying to you. It's his job to make you feel weary. It's his job. Amen. It's his job to make you feel so low and so miserable. It's not a shame to get down. Woo. But maybe you lost your mind or something up here in the last 5 minutes. Uh-huh. I said it's not a shame to get down. It's not a sin to get down. But it's when you stay down. But it's not a sin. Listen, young people. It's not a sin when you get knocked down. But it's how you respond after you get knocked down. If you really want to know who you are and what you are, show me the way you respond to once the props get knocked right out from underneath you. Pull yourself back up during those times. If it takes every ounce of faith you've got to muster it up, stand back up and defy that thing. There's times we must look in the face of the enemy and defy that depression, defy that weariness, defy that sickness. You see, you're starting to lose the battle. You should do what you should have done all along. Just throw your hands up. You're saying, God, I surrender this whole thing to you. Lord, I'm willing to admit it's greater than my flesh. It's greater than my mind can even comprehend tonight. I can't figure out all the problems. I can't figure out how to fix everything. It's not your job to fix everything. It's not your job to be a busybody and try to fix everybody's problem, everybody's trouble. Amen. That's not your job. But Satan will put your mind in such overtime, working so quick. You think, oh man, I got to do this and do that and do this. And what he's doing is robbing you of the mountaintop experience. Day by day, pulling you back down into that valley. I love it when I get down. I just start quoting the word. I go and read my favorite scriptures. And I start realizing that David got down and David got discouraged and David began to tell God how great he is, how wonderful he is. But that's what you are to do. Amen. Remind God how great he is. I'm not talking about Buddha. I'm not talking about Krishna. I'm not talking about Muhammad. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lily of the Valley. The Bright and the Morning Star. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Hallelujah. Brother, he is my king, whether I feel like it or not. He is my savior, whether I feel like it or not. He's my rock in a weary land, whether I know he's there or not. He is my rose of Shelley. Brother, let me tell you, there ain't no high like the Most High. Glory! Moses' hands got heavy. And his hands began to fall. God had two men, the ministry and a lay member, that grabbed the side of Moses' arms. Whoop, whoop, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Message, rest in my hands a little while. Rest in my hands for a little while. Word of life, rest in my hands a little while. Because if you can't keep your hands up, Moses, I'll keep your hands up for you. But there ain't nobody else wanting to stand for the message. Let me keep Moses' hands lifted. When everybody's turning about face and leaving and trying to find something else, let me hold up this message. Let me hold up this word. Let me hold up this gospel. Let me do my part! And when you lose, or begin to lose, is when your hands fall. And Aaron and her grab that arm. Okay, I got him, I got him, I got him, I got him. I got him, I got him. Aaron looks around. I need something. Here's a rock. I got him. I got him. Okay, I got him. You take that side. I got my side. No, take your side. Which side? The left side. Right. No, the left. We got you. We got you. Moses, sit right here. sit right here on the rock a little while. Sit on this rock. Sit down, prophet, on the rock of ages. Hide thou me. Hallelujah. Moses, sit in Aaron and her. Stay there, Moses. Moses, keep your hands up. It almost looks like a dust storm going across them Amalekites. Glory to God. You see him, Moses? I see him. What's going on? I don't know, but those people screaming and hollering and jumping and running and screaming. Oh, what's taking place? Is that us? Oh no, that's them. Why are we winning? Because your hands is up. Moses didn't send a well-equipped army into that valley. He didn't send warriors trained to fight. He sent men who was willing to stand for the word of their day. Moses' hands got heavy and Aaron and Hur stayed them up. What other thing in the scripture did Hur ever do? Is his name even written anywhere else? Very few times. It just talks about his descendants. That's it. He's not known for nothing great. He didn't walk into a lion's den. He didn't walk into a fiery furnace. He didn't get swallowed by a whale. Listen, he stayed the hands of somebody that needed him. Don't you see, friends, what's going on? Moses needed somebody to help him. God, Moses needed Aaron, the Levite. He needed him to help him. You're not the only hands that get heavy, Moses. My hands have been heavy. There's times, friends, that you do need your hands held up. Well, not me, Brother David. I don't need nobody else. I got myself. I mean, I got my four. I don't care about anybody else. Don't keep that attitude. Because you can either come willingly, or you can come laying on your back in the hospital going, man, would somebody lift my hand up because it's got a cast on it? But you're coming one way or the other, Israel, because we're not losing this battle, whether you help or not. Listen, friends, eternal life is not living your life for yourself. It's living your life for others. The only place recorded in the scripture about her, and it shows him doing the works of Christ, living his life for somebody else. But we get the attitude, I don't need nobody or nothing. I know this already. I haven't been preaching, evangelizing very long, just a couple of years, but I found this right already. They, some people in our message, they ain't coming to the altar. I don't care how big of a call you got. Because they think they got everything they needed 35 years ago, and we're not going back to that altar. And I'm going to tell you, that's your biggest problem right there. Is you don't think you need anything else. And I'm going to tell you, you need a refill of the Holy Ghost every day of your life. Amen, brother and sister. Well, Brother David, I got everything I needed years ago, and I mean, I'm rapture ready. Listen, friends, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, be all the way at the top of the pyramid, but let me tell you, there's going to be days you're going to need somebody to help you pray, somebody to pick your hands up. If Moses' hands got heavy, I guarantee you, your hands are going to get heavy. They said, people, they're never going to get prayed for. I don't care how bad they get. They ain't coming if they're getting prayed for. Shame on you. I said, shame on you. God sent love gifts into the church to help you to overcome that thing with somebody, because you can't do it by yourself sometimes. And if you didn't need help, I didn't give you help. I've watched people in churches watch their knuckles turn white because they refuse to be pulled by the Holy Spirit. Brother, don't you realize God wants tender hearts? He wants surrendered hearts to His Word. It's not a shame to have battles. It's not a shame to have tests. It's not a shame to ask somebody to help you pray. See, the devil turned that around in our minds and thinks it's a sign of weakness when you ask other people to pray. I don't think that's a sign of weakness at all. If you was in a gunfight, all right, and you run out of ammunition in your gun, and you got a buddy that's 20 yards away from you that's got a whole belt full of them, you mean to tell me you're going to sit there and get killed out of ignorance? I'm going to say, Brother Darrell, you got an extra clip? An extra one? I got all you need, man. I mean, I got Acts 2:38. I got Revelation 10:7. I got Malachi 4 and 5. I got everything you need. Matter of fact, I'm glad you asked. I've been studying this word all week, man. I got so much ammunition. I'm just ready to help somebody, give somebody something. Why don't you just ask? Ask and you shall receive.
Right here. You're lucky I'm in this building. You're just lucky I showed up. Well, that's a good attitude. Moses' hands got heavy. Listen, do you know the pressure on those hands? The pressure on Moses' hands to drop those hands. The pressure of the battle. The pressure of the war. It's on those hands, and normally Moses could have held them up a lot longer, but the battle was so pressing so hard and the pressure was so great. And that same thing is against you right here in this building tonight. Every devil in hell is trying to weigh your hands down as much as he can. Because he knows what happens. Listen, that he's been bit by that dog before. He knows what happens when you throw your hands up. Amen, somebody. Listen, God loved what happened on this mountain. He speaks specially to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to take and I want you to write this in a book of memory of what happened this day up here on this mountain. I want you to write on how when your hands got tired and your hands got heavy that somebody helped you hold them up. I want you to write about how that the enemy was overcoming Joshua until your hands went up. I want you to write this down. And when you get down and you get weary and you get discouraged, go back and read what I've done this day. The Lord said, write this for a memorial in the book, verse 14, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of the dwellers of the valley from under the heaven. He don't want you to forget what happened. At all cost. At all cost. Remember what happened out there. Don't you never forget it. Why don't he want us to forget it? One day, many years later, there's going to be another battle fought. This time, it's not going to be with the victory over the Amalekites. It's not going to be a passage into a natural land. It was going to be on a hill, but it wasn't going to be Rephidim. This hill, Golgotha. This man with his hands raised up ain't Moses, but it's Jesus Christ. Those precious hands had holes in them. And the hands were so heavy. They're not being held up by two men. They're being held up by two nails. And the pressure of the nails in those hands got so heavy. The pressure of humanity. Are you with me now? The pressure of his humanity. The pressure of his body was on them nails. You understand? The pressure of the body, the pressure of the church, the pressure of his body was weighing down on them nails, ripping his flesh, causing him agony, causing him pain. And because those hands was held up, not only did Israel prevail, but every son and daughter of God that would come after Calvary was going to prevail because of those hands being raised on that mountain that day. Every battle you would face and overcome, it's because a man held up his hands. Every test you would go through, it's because a man held up his hands. Every sickness you would fight, your children would fight, it's because a man held up his hands. Because of a man holding up his hands. It's not Aaron and Hur with him. It's wicked men with him. But there's three men on a mountain. Oh, friends, no wonder. The agony of those nails, the pressure of those nails, was every drop of weariness you would ever have was pulling down on that hand. The days you would get sick and you didn't feel like you was going to get over it. The pressure was on them hands. He laid there. What'd he do wrong? Nothing. Who'd he hurt? Nobody. What'd he say? Only things to help. But he exchanged from you being there to him being there. So you wouldn't have to give your life with your hands up. He gave his life for you. And exchange because he raised his hands. What are you want to do for him tonight? What it ought to make you want to do for him? Because of the pressure and the weight upon those hands. The agony and the pain that weighed upon him. What it ought to make you do tonight? It was heavy. It was heavy. If I could just hold on a little bit longer. See, he knows where you've been. If I could just keep going a little longer, he knows where you've been. He's been there. He's been there. And you're an overcomer because he's been there. You can win because he's been there. You don't have to suffer because he's been there. You don't have to be down because he got down. You don't have to be weary because he become weary for you. Heavy. Heavy hands. It's his hands up. Moses called the place at Rephidim Jehovah Nissi. It literally means the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our banner. Who are you surrendering to, Moses? The Lord. Well, let's just call this the Lord is my banner. Listen, friends. It's a banner. It's an ensign. From that day forward, hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, military camps that would go into war would carry flags raised up because it would be a standard and ensign. In the Civil War days, I'll close. In the Civil War days, when they would go into battle because of the musket fire and the gunpowder, it caused a great big cloud that nobody could hardly see. And the cannons would go off and people would become shell-shocked. They'd be so shell-shocked they wouldn't know where they're going or what they're doing. And they begin to look around. They always had somebody on the battlefield that was called the standard bearer. Which means he carried the flag everywhere he went. He didn't have a knife. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have a weapon. He had the flag. And this was the most honored position on the battlefield to be able to carry the standard for your army. Why do they need it? Because that man that's shell-shocked and don't know where he's at, trying to get his bearings, trying to find out where he is, goes to looking around. If he can ever find that standard, preach somebody right there, amen. If he can ever find that standard, he knowed which way to go. He ain't running back to a foxhole. He ain't running backwards. If he knows where the standard is, he knows to press forward. Our standard bearer is Jesus Christ. And he raised as far as he could out. And he raised that banner for all of humanity to see. That when you get down and weary and your hands get heavy. And you feel like I don't know which way to go and my mind's tore up. Just look to the standard. He'll help you find your way. Hundreds years later, there's going to be another prophet. He's going to be on a mountain. Amen. He's going to be praying. He said, I got the Sabino Canyon. I lifted my hands up in the air. And when I did, a sword struck my hand. What would have happened had he not had his hands up? But a sword strikes his hands. My, it's a sword. Oh, no. It's the king's sword. A couple of years later, this mountain is not Golgotha. It's not Rephidim. It's sunset. Come on, somebody. The book had been taken. The Redeemer had taken his book back to claim his possession. The Bible said, I saw another mighty angel descend from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow is upon his head and his face, and were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. And then I come down a few verses And he says, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven. How are we going to get out of this? The word for your day. You're getting artillery. You're getting the weaponry to fight every devil in hell that would come against you in Laodicea. You're getting weapons to fight with. You're getting bullets to shoot with. Because he lifted up his hands to heaven. Let's stand to our feet tonight. God bless you. Let our musicians come. Praise be to God. I'm reminded of Brother Branham in his younger days. He'd taken his family up to Hurricane Mountain. He gets up to Hurricane Mountain and he's there hunting to try to find some food. As he goes around, the snow begins to fall. He knows the area well. He'd been there and he'd actually helped the ranger run a telephone wire up to the top of the hill. And he knew the area real well. But the heart of the snow got to falling because of the weight of the snow. He couldn't find his way no more. And he said, I got in what they called, when the Indians begin to run in the circle of death. Until he said, I watched and I marched and I walked until I looked around. I thought, that tree looks familiar. I've seen that before. And he realized, I'm walking in circles. And Brother said, my family was down in that cabin. And if I didn't bring them food back, they was going to die. So life and death was at stake. And Brother said, I knew I'd helped him hang that telephone wire. But he said it was just above my head about that far. He said, if I'm going to find that wire, I'm going to have to throw my hands up. And I'm going to have to keep walking until my hands catches that wire. Brother Brown said, I went through the valleys. I went through the brush. I went through the briars. He said, I didn't think I was ever going to find it. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I couldn't find it. How many's ever been there? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I couldn't find the answer. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And Brother Brown said, I kept thinking, oh God, help me, Lord. My family's there. They need me, Lord. I need to find that wire. I've got to find it. He said, I just kept walking with my hands up. Until finally, he said, I went through a valley. Glory to God. And I walked back out on the other side, coming up the hill. And when I got up to the hill, he said, I felt that wire hit my hands. Brother David, why would you preach this tonight? I'm telling you, I'm here to help guide that wire to hit your hands tonight. Get a hold of the lifeline, brother and sister. Follow it. Follow it. It'll lead you back home. It'll lead you back where you're supposed to be at. Let's bow our hearts tonight. Oh, praise be to God. The Lord laid this on my heart to speak to you tonight. I wonder if there's anybody besides me who says, Lord, my hands get so heavy sometimes. My hands get so heavy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know it's sometimes in my mind. I don't want people to know this. I don't want people to think that I'm some type of weakling. I'll tell you, friend, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of surrenderance. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you see our hands lifted in your presence tonight. This is more than just a hand raised up in the air. This is a sign of what is going on in my heart. You've touched my soul tonight, Lord. I needed to hear this. I'm sure there's many in the building, they need to hear this tonight. Because we're weighted in this hour, Lord, that we're living in. There's so much weight upon us. Paul said weight of sin, which so easily beset us. Heaviness everywhere we look. We see it, Lord. We can't hardly stand it. Everywhere we look, we see unbelief. We see sin. We see people that are ungodly. They don't care. They don't care no more. We're living in a world that does not care. It so makes me so sick to my stomach. The only time they want to call out is when big storms come through or earthquakes. That's the only time they want to call out, pray, pray, pray. Using God like some kind of a spare tire. Lord, I don't want to use you like that just when there's storms. Just when I'm going through things. But Lord, before I ever go into that valley of the Amalekites, I want to be able to raise my hands. Lord, I want to be able to throw my hands up and surrender to you. That no matter how great the trouble is, how great my problems is, I know you're greater than anything I'll ever face. Help us tonight, Lord, each one. You see the needs upon the hearts of your people. Lord, I don't believe this has just been preached tonight just for nothing. There's something here. We need to hear these things, Lord. It's the age. It's the day of wickedness. It's the day of weighty things. Help us, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel the pull. I feel the pull, brothers, if you would. Oh, praise God. Sometimes I just lift my hands because I feel His pull upon me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I feel the pull. Hallelujah. Yes, I hear your call. Hallelujah. And I know His Spirit's moving me. I've got to give my all. He speaks. Have He spoke to you tonight? What's He said to your heart? Lord, and I'll agree. We're going to give our all. Yes, He speaks to me. Oh, yes, and I. How many can agree tonight? Lord, I agree. Lord, please come. Take control of us tonight. Amen. Sing that verse, brother. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
At night I lay in bed and I began to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groanings deep within. I must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel I hear the call, and I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and please come and take control. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call.
Glory!
And I know His Spirit's moving. Give Him my all. He speaks to me, and I believe. Lord, please. Please come and take control. I feel the flow. I went to hear the word, and with each line and praise, He was drawing me to give a higher
Hallelujah.
Praise. There's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach my goal, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call.
Oh, yes, I hear your call.
And I know His Spirit.
He's moving me. I've got to lift my hands. I went to hear the word. Hallelujah.
I went to hear the word.
Just like you did tonight.
With each line.
Oh, hallelujah.
And praise.
Do you feel Him drawing you tonight? Glory to God.
He was drawing me.
Like
to
Moses.
Give
like Aaron. Like her.
Your praise.
Oh, yes, He was.
Let's call to the deep, like a great magnet
pull of me, Lord.
I know for sure,
hallelujah,
I reach my goal, 'cause I feel the pull.
I said He's learning tonight. See what I'm learning tonight.
I feel the pull.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I hear the call.
It's moving me. I'm going to give my all.
Spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Spread your wings. You're an eagle. You can fly.
Hallelujah.
You wasn't born for the valley. No, you was born to soar in the sky.
Don't let your trials get you down. Don't let your weighty matters, oh hallelujah, down into the ground. So mount up with me. You're in me. Come on, eagle, spread your wings tonight. Let's fly for a few moments. Oh, I'm gonna spread your wings. You're an eagle. You can fly. I wasn't born for a Malachite Valley. No, you were born to soar in the sky. Hallelujah. Oh, drive a little eagle spirit down into the ground. Well, mount up with me. You're ready. Once again, let's sing it now. Oh, yes, I said, spread your wings like an eagle. You can fly. Hallelujah. Wasn't born. I was born from Laodicea. Though I was made to soar up in the sky. Don't let your trials drive your spirits to the ground. Mount up with wings like an eagle.
Service wonderful. Amen. Isn't God's word so real?
Amen.
Amen. This is Brett Lawson, my nephew. He was down in Kingsport here a while back. A friend of his asked him to go to a service down there. So he goes to the service and God got a hold of his heart. So he's wanting to serve the Lord and he wanted me to baptize him. He's been seeking out the truth. But you know, the Bible says, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to enter in with our brother's faith tonight and baptize him according to the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so glad that we can call you Father. Knowing, Lord, that in this hour of such darkness, that your word can still touch the hearts of men, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you that your word has had an effect upon Brett, Lord.
Thank you.
And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, may you lead him and guide him into all truth, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, when he comes up from this water, Lord, may you fill him with the Holy Ghost, Lord. And oh God, may he be a light for those around him and for his family until he leads every one of them safely into the fold. Oh God, we give his life into your hands for your glory, Lord. And we ask your blessings to be upon my little brother in the name of Jesus Christ. Brett, according to the scriptures, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah!
Glory!
Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I said I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I want to serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield. How many feels that way now? Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my love. Oh, yes.
said, I promised him that I want to serve him till I die. Well, I'm up. Sing a verse, brother. Amen.
I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took the master's hand and I joined this Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Oh, see you now. Well, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm on battlefield for my Lord, my Lord. Oh yes, I promised him that I
would serve him till I die.
Oh yes, I'm on. Amen. Oh, yeah. I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me and the sword in my hand. In distant land I trod, cried, sinner, come to God. Yes, I'm on the battlefield. Hallelujah! I said I'm on the battlefield. Oh, yes, I'm on this battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'm gonna serve him till I die. Well, I'm on. When I met my Savior, I met him with a smile. He healed my wounded spirit. He owned me as his child. Around the throne of grace, upholding my soul's place, I'm on the battlefield. Oh, sing it tonight while you work. Amen. Oh, yes, I am. Hallelujah.
Promise him that I would serve him till I die.
I say glory to God. Amen. Oh, I said I'm on the battlefield. How about you tonight? Amen. Why don't I go ahead and worship a little bit? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm on this battlefield. Hallelujah! I said I'm on this battlefield for my Lord, and I ain't giving in. Battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I promised him that I want to march and fight till I die. Oh, glory! Oh, lift your hands! Lift your hands! Give the Lord a praise offering tonight. Come on there and lift your hands. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh. Well, I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army. Well, I'm a soldier. Yes, I am. Well, I'm a soldier. Let me tell you tonight. I got my war clothes on in this song. I got my war clothes. Amen. Oh, I got my war clothes on. I'm a soldier. Oh, yes. Well, if I live, let me live. In this army, if I live, let me live. Well, if I live in this army, I got my sword and my shield. I got my sword and my shield. I got my sword and my shield
in this army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a soldier.
Glory! Thank you, Lord.
In this army, I'm a soldier. In this army of the Lord, I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. Oh, when I fight, let me fight. In this army of the Lord, when I fight, let me fight. In this army, when I fight, let me fight. In this army of the Lord, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Well, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army. I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on in this army of the Lord. Got my war clothes on in this army. I've got my war clothes on in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.